Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster, simple yet powerful live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and this is episode number 107. This is what we're going to call Co-Founders Cast, because we're down to the bare minimum today. But it's still going to be a good show. I've got Kat hanging out with me. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. I'm just tired of this rain, man.
I know. The rain is real here. April showers bring May flowers, they say.
Yeah, but 5 days of April showers bring flooding.
That's true. But hey, look, if it's raining, it means I can stay in and play games, right?
Yeah, if your basement doesn't flood.
That's true. That's true, too. We've got a wicked show for you folks here today. Specifically, topic of the show is dope, okay? I got the very first interview with Patricia Somerset, who is the voice of Princess of Zelda from Breath of the Wild. And she is the sweetest person ever. She gave me insights on what she worked on Breath of the Wild. She gave me insights on life as a performance artist, video voiceover actress, all that jazz. And she's worked on games like For Honor, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Far Cry Primal, Rainbow Six Siege, Assassin's Creed series, and she also played in a little game called Beowulf, the game. So yeah, stay tuned for that. You all know her from as Princess Zelda, though. She's my Princess Zelda now, and I told her that, and I think I borderline made her cry. All right, but before we get into topic of the show with Patricia, I want to know, Kat, what games you gaming?
Yeah, so I'm still playing Breath of the Wild, because I'm still trekking along and enjoying it. Other than that, I picked up Fire Emblem Heroes on my phone again. I'm enjoying that. It comes and goes. But I'm really excited for the upcoming 3DS release.
Is that releasing? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, no. I was eyeing the amiibos on Amazon today, though.
Ooh, amiibos.
Yeah, they have a pack of the guy and the girl. Shadows of Valentia, Fire Emblem Echoes, coming May 19th, 2017. Yes! I'm excited for that.
Excitement is real.
Fire Emblem is one of my favorite 3DS series.
Is that when that drops in my lap, I will usher it onto you with great pleasure.
Yes!
So this has been the week of finishing games for me. I finished Horizon Zero Dawn, which is beautiful. I love that game. I'm still processing editorial incoming for written words on my thoughts. And I started streaming Halo with a friend, Nixie. And she actually took me through the normal, mind you. Within two evenings, we played through the whole story mode of Halo 5 Guardians. So I finally got through it.
And that's the one with Nathan Fillion.
Yes. Oh, every time I could be Buck, I was Buck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And there's Luke Cage in that one, too, the actor who played.
I know. Yeah, he was really good in it, too. Nyx would usually play as Luke Cage, and I would play as Nathan Fillion. So, yeah. We didn't, like, obviously playing on normal, so it was kind of easy because I'm a noob. I'm a Halo noob. But we, like, fast-forward through, like, all the cutscenes, so I still have no fucking clue the story. But mind you, I don't know the story anyway, because I only played like one myself and halfway through two, and I haven't played three or four. But now she has the Master Chief Collection too, so hopefully we'll get through those together. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm just like pew pew the whole time. And if I manage to get one of the swords, the laser, I call it a laser sword, but essentially it looks like. I don't even know what it's technically called, but it's a sword. I just run around like a freaking maniac slicing people down. I bet if I go to play hard or legendary, I can't do that. So, yeah. But it's good fun. Halo's cool. I like it. My skills as a first-person shooter gamer are getting a lot better.
Oh, it comes with practice.
It does, it does. But speaking of streaming on Beam, I did twice this week, but you had your very first stream doing creative, doing your fan art from Stardew Valley. How'd you find it?
It was fun. I wish Beam was working.
Oh, yeah. That was the evening when things were, like, spazzing out.
Yep. Yeah, the stream cut out at least, like, 2 or 3 times in the 2 hours I streamed. So it was basically, like, you, myself, and Paul for the most of the time.
Yeah, because we kept going back in. We were like, what the hell, Beam?
I know, and I didn't get any notification on my OBS saying that it was off or anything. But right off the bat, after my first stream on Beam, FTL is the shit.
Oh my god, isn't it?
I love it. I was actually thinking of picking up games on Xbox to stream through the Xbox app, but now I'm like, no, I'm just gonna stream. If I stream, it's gonna be like creative or PC games, because this FTL thing, like, just the immediate interaction is so much better. I love it better than the delayed stream on Twitch. It's crazy.
So yesterday I was doing Xbox through the Elgato, through XSplit, who is a sponsor of us, through the into Beam. And my delay, because I had to obviously set up my camera and my my microphone to be on delay, because the Elgato, reason being is that in order for the Elgato to work properly, it has to encode things to then send it to your computer. That's why there's a delay. So my delay, because I recorded to try and make sure everything was synced up right, was 1.5 seconds. So with FTL on, even though that's 1.5 seconds, you don't see it. And then having no delay because of FTL, like, it's like magic. Like, I couldn't get over it. Even through an Elgato, and an external one.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying Beam. I'm also enjoying the community. I think Twitch is suffering a bit from its own popularity, a bit like YouTube. I find, like, as soon as something gets big and popular, there's a lot of toxicity that comes with it. And I don't think it's seeped onto Beam yet, but
I feel you.
No, it's really fun. I'm really enjoying Beam right now, and I'm excited to do more. I'm actually planning another stream on Monday, so if you're listening to this the day it comes out, it's probably tonight. But I'm planning on streaming every Monday creative work. Right now, my next piece will be actually Princess Zelda from Breath of the Wild. Let's keep in the theme of the show.
Let's keep the theme growing in here, yeah.
Yeah, and after that, there's this lady in Dark Souls 3. I haven't told Simon I was thinking of doing this one. He's going to lose his shit. I think it's the Keeper of the Flame.
Okay.
It's the lady you go see to level up. She has this black Victorian dress and this weird mask thing, because I figure she's blind. And then just, like, long platinum blonde, almost white hair. It's just like, I just saw, I don't know, Simon was streaming Dark Souls the other night, and I saw her and I was like, yes, I like her.
Must draw.
Yeah, no, just like, so this one's gonna be like, I'm probably gonna do one for that one. It would be like almost just China ink, maybe get that, you know, Victorian line drawing, you know what I'm talking about, like that pre-Art Nouveau. Now I'm turning into the art nerd. But I'm thinking about that.
No, but I love it.
Yeah, so I'm going to update the setup. I'm going to do proper watercolors on watercolor paper. And we're gonna paint Princess Zelda.
Beautiful. I love it. It's gonna be fun to watch. I like seeing your technique. And it's cool you're, like, educating through the process, too. Which, this is why I like watching creative streams, and why I like watching, because I like watching people's process, so that's really entertaining for me. And yep. I'm excited to see more.
Well, Miss Bianca Donk's been streaming animation.
Yes, she Maya, has been
doing walk cycles and run cycles, and it was really interesting to how she talks about what makes a walk or what makes something more natural, and all the care that goes into doing simple things like walking or running and looping it. So I've really also been enjoying watching her do that.
Now, B, I believe, is also taught before. So she's, like, bringing that knowledge of how to educate to the process of showing what she's doing, which is really cool to see.
Yep.
All right. Well, of course, if you want to follow the crew, the Girls and Games team on Beam, we're at beam.pro/team/girlsongames. So you can go and check us all out there. Allie's on it. We got Fluffy Flippin' Fox, myself, Kat, Bianca, Simo as well. And hey, if you're interested in joining our team, just shoot us a message on Twitter or comment if you see one of us live, and we'll pass the information on to Simone because he's the one that runs all that jazz. And yeah, you never know, right? We're looking for cool people doing cool stuff on Beam because we love the community and we love the interaction. It's been good times. All right, I think it's time to get into the news, but first, let's have a little break. All right, we're back. It's time for some news. Kat, you got some Xbox Scorpio action going on?
Yeah, so Microsoft released the tech specs for the Scorpio project. And spoiler alert, we still don't know what a teraflop is.
Yeah, I have no sweet clue.
Yeah. So personally, Leah and I are not big tech junkies or spec heads and things like that. Like, we're very plug and play when it comes to games.
Look, no shame in it, all right? Yeah. No shame. Our education is in different realms.
Yeah. Well, today in our Discord chat, some people were saying that these specs were blowing the PS Pro out of the water. I don't know, PS Pro is HDR. Scorpio is 4K. I don't know. There's RAM. There's bandwidth.
There's things.
There's
things and there's
There's
teraflop.
A 6 teraflop GPU. That, like...
What's a flop?
I don't know. Like, I can understand, like, you know, a 2.3 gigahertz custom CPU. I know, like, except for the custom part, I know what gigahertz and a CPU do. I know how much RAM is good RAM. And, you know, it's GDDR5. You know, there's memory bandwidth. There's things like that. 4K, I understand. But a 6 teraflop GPU, I...
Yeah. Yeah. I get you. And we are lacking Simon. He's the mastermind that understands all this shit.
Yeah. I mean, when I wanted a gaming PC, I just gave him my budget.
And ditto.
Built it. But yeah, no, it's going to be a powerful machine. Like, you look at these numbers, like the fact that it has 12 gigabytes of RAM, it's a lot, and 1 terabyte storage, internal storage. So.
Base model is start.
Yeah. So it's going to have really, it's going to be a good premium console, that's for sure. We're still waiting on release date and price, though.
And what the damn thing looks like.
Yeah.
I imagine we're going to get all that at E3. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is their way. I know we don't understand it, and maybe that's the point, right? We don't understand these things because that's not what we look for. Me, personally, when I think Xbox Scorpio, I want to see some game that blows my freaking mind and how good it looks, right? And there's no way they're not going to explain that yet. They're not going to show that yet. They're going to wait for E3 because that's the gamer show.
Yes, and also, like, this is not an entry-level console. This is for... long-time fans for them to upgrade. This is a premium console. This is like people that want to play Forza in 4K but not on PC, on console, will buy this console. But I mean, anybody that has a working Xbox One when this launch and they don't have a 4K TV and this is not some of their priorities, they're just going to stay with their Xbox One.
What I do think is smart, though, is how Xbox decided to announce this. They went through Eurogamer and Digital Foundry, and that's what they do. Right? They didn't try and slide it in with a media outlet that's more like IGN or Polygon, that's more about the entertainment side and the gameplay side and that kind of stuff. They went right to the source of the people that want to report on tech specs.
Yep.
I think that was really smart of them, and also to get that out before E3, because the people watching on E3, like, hi, us, who want to see games, I just want to see a game.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And since it's a premium console, that people who are looking for good specs will want this console, it's smart of them to release the specs before price and release date.
But in saying that, if they want me to buy that game, they want me to drop whatever amount it's going to be, they have to show me the goods. Like, they have to show me a game. They need to give me a reason. Like, I can't justify buying a PlayStation 4 Pro right now because I don't have a 4K TV. And it, you know, like, unless my PlayStation dies, then I would go do it. But there's no real reason for me to do it right now. There could be a reason behind the Xbox Scorpio for me to buy it. They just got to show it to me.
Oh, without the 4K output, you know, what's the point of the 4K output if you don't have a 4K input, basically?
Yeah.
So, short term, no. But we don't still don't know price and everything. But people are excited.
They are.
Because there are teraflops.
Floppy, floppy, floopy, floop. I don't know. Still want to know what a teraflop is. Okay, we've got other news stories. So, one of the other, and this time it's about a game, but one of the other games that has come under fire in the past little while is Persona 5. Kat, do you want to fill us in on what's going on with Persona?
So, Persona 5 is out-Nintendoing Nintendo when it comes to content creation and streaming. So, basically, Persona 5 doesn't want you to stream or record Let's Play past the in-game date of July 7th because they don't want you to spoil the game for other potential players. I don't think Atlas understands the point of YouTube and Twitch and Beam. That is stupid.
See, there's multiple things going on here. I've been listening and watching and reading a lot of people talking about this. And in some cases, I can see where Persona 5 and Atlas make sense. Like, it's not like you can go and watch a movie. Like, no, I can't go and film Star Wars and commentate on it live and throw that on YouTube. Right?
Yep.
And if this is a strict on, you know, story-driven, there's only one solution, you can't do anything outside of the box here, there's no multiplayer, there's no that kind of stuff, like, I can kind of understand that. But on the other side, when I like to get a taste of a game, then I like watching Let's Plays, I like watching streamers, I like watching people experience a game and how they annotate it and express their thoughts around it and, you know, watching their experience. So I can see the pros and cons on both sides. And I think Persona 5 is in a very interesting predicament. But with that being said, the way that they rephrase their rules about content strikes straight off the bat,
yeah,
I would not advising trying to go against their wishes, because God only knows what might happen. But you know, somebody will test the waters.
Well, I mean, at one point, you know, there's, can they really do it for all the channels that decide to go beyond the in-game date of 7/7?
There are algorithms, man. YouTube can do magical things.
I know, but not everybody that wants to watch somebody play Persona 5 wants to play Persona 5. Playing a video game is tedious. Let's just, like, our hobby is a very fucking tedious hobby. So, there are games that I'm interested in, there are games that I love the story and the premise, but the gameplay annoys me to no end, or I don't want to sink in 40 plus hours to know the story, especially since I get easily distracted by side quests and whatever. So maybe I just want to, like, sit through it and watch a few Let's Plays and scrub through a few Let's Plays and get the story and enjoy it that way. I realize that Atlas sees it as a lost sale, but if I had no intention of buying it in the first place, it is not a lost sale. And maybe after watching somebody play Persona 5, maybe I'll be like, I'm really interested in this. Maybe I'll get Persona 6 and things like that. There's a lot of it. there's a lot of people that buy games or jump on board a game series after they've watched somebody else play it. Like, you start playing Halo because you've seen so many people play it, people talk about it all the time, and, you know, it didn't stop you from buying the game, even if you've maybe watched somebody go through story mode or things like that. So I think it's trying to stop an ecosystem that exists and that works and that is fine. And we have content creators that use games to create content and create series and things like that and build their own community. And even it's even their livelihood for a lot of people. And then, you know, a game publisher is like, yeah, no, we don't like that because we see it as a threat. But I'm like, it's not a threat. That's not how the gaming community is.
Yeah, I was going to play that devil's advocate, but you brought it up in that they look at it as a lost sale. I was reading that. Do you think, see, this is the thing where it's hard because we haven't played the game yet. The July 7th date that they talk about, do we think that that's enough to see, to get a flavor of the game, to make you want to play more? If you watch up to July 7th of a YouTuber streaming it or whatever, is that enough for you to be like, to make your hard decision at that point? But at the same time, the way that the YouTuber expresses, or Twitch streamer or whatever, Let's Player, expresses themselves during the process, you know, that's why I watch Johnny Awesome, right? It's because I like how he gives voices to the characters and does all this kind of stuff. Like, he adds an extra layer to the game that I would watch through his streams anyway, even though I played the game and know the end, right? Because I like him and how he annotates. So, yeah, it seems a little off-putting and a little ass backwards for content creators and a little bit of a slap in the face. I think there's going to be some news story at some point that someone got, like, the smacketh was laid down on them by Atlas because they went through. At the same time, so that's video, right? And showing the gameplay. So does that, if we wanted to both, you and I, play Persona 5 through and then discuss the entire game and give away all the peak points and tell people the ending, would we get a content flag? Because we're essentially telling someone how the story and how the game ends. If we wrote something and spoiled everything, would Atlas come and yell at us then?
Do they have an algorithm running on podcasts?
I don't know. But, like, that's the thing. Like, if someone wants to know the freaking end of the game and how it pans out without paying for the game, there are outlets. There are ways to do that. Or even if we don't record it, Kat, you and I having a conversation together. You play the game. I don't. I want to know the story. You tell me everything. How can they control that? It's not public, mind you, but you can broadcast that opinion if you felt like it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people that disconnect all their social media account when they can't watch a Game of Thrones episode live because they don't want to get spoiled, because in the end, people are gonna, once they consume something, they're gonna talk about it, and it's, you know, it's gonna get on the internet. So there's nothing you can't control. Once you birth something and you send it into the world, like a piece of media, especially like of entertainment, you can't control how people will react, how people will talk about it, when and where. You just kind of like got to embrace it. And I think nurturing the gaming community includes nurturing the content creators and the Let's Players and the streamers, because they have this following. And like you said, Johnny Awesome, you like him because of his personalities. I mean, Pascal watches every freaking Game Grump episode that they ever put out. And he's played games after they finished them. And that hasn't stopped him. You know, they were doing Dark Souls 3 Let's Plays while he was playing Dark Souls. And, you know, they started playing Breath of the Wild. And he messaged me and he was like, were you serious about buying Breath of the Wild? I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, because Game Grump is playing it and it looks really good and I want to play it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy it. He's like, okay, I'm going to stop watching this episode because I don't want to get spoiled. And then he caught back. He started watching them after he started playing the game. because at first he was just like, I don't want to get split. But that's like, he stopped himself. You know, people are not idiots. You also have to put that faith in your fans that if they don't want to get spoiled, they're not going to go and watch Let's Plays and streamers that are streaming the game. They don't want to get spoiled. You know, we're not idiots. We're not children. Mm. Well, some of us are. Pretty sure there are children.
I'm emotionally a child, just saying.
No, but I'm pretty sure there are children on the internet.
Well, yes, but I mean, yeah. It'll be interesting to watch how this pans out. This news came out, what, today? Yesterday? Trying to remember now. The game is out. The reviews are out. It's getting really high reviews. Like, I've been listening to podcasts, I've been reading stuff, and people are saying Persona 5 is the epitome of a Japanese RPG. And that's saying a lot. So just that praise alone got me real intrigued. So I might be playing that game. But what sucks is that if I can't stream it, that really cuts down on when I can play it, because I want to stream things. I want to have that interaction online. So not being able to stream means I'm limited in when I can play. And it's not like the Switch that I can take and do an hour at lunchtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. Oh my. We'll have to wait and see. We really will. I think it's early to tell now. I think everybody's just on the internet, like, table flipping. And I know you folks are listening to this a little later than when the news came out. So it's a hot topic, you know, content creators, Let's Players, and taking someone else's content and riffing on it. And if that is fair use or not, it's interesting to watch.
I just see it as an insult to your potential consumers that you don't trust them to still buy the game if they're spoiled, or to prevent themselves from being spoiled. You think, like, PewDiePie puts out a video and everybody has to go watch it as soon as it comes out and not stop themselves if it's a game that they don't want to get spoiled? Come on.
Let's move on to something else. So a gentleman decided to play a VR game and ended up losing 50 pounds. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a boxing game, almost like the sound boxing. Yes. Game called Sound Boxing. He started by doing 20 minutes, and then that 20 minutes became 25, and then that 25 became 40, and sometimes it became 90 minutes. And he said he lost so much weight that now he can do regular, like, training, like gym training. And I think it's a crazy story. Like, after that, games get so much flack for, I don't know, animal cruelty and whatnot and making kids violent. Like, this guy's just like, yeah, man, been boxing like an hour every day and, you know, I lost 50 pounds.
It's wild. You need to have motivation. I mean, I know personally, I was a competitive synchronized swimmer. I played lots of hockey growing up. I played lots of soccer growing up. And getting into a gym is like pulling teeth for me.
I hate the gym.
I hate the idea of just like the motivation to go in there. At least when you have a purpose behind the activity, then I'm motivated to do it. When I was swimming, it was like, you know, like sports is art. Then when I was playing soccer, playing hockey, it was a team activity. I'm a competitive individual. I wanted to do that. So going to the gym and just like pumping weights and running on spot, staring at myself in a mirror on a treadmill, no interest whatsoever. That's why I love things like Shape Up. I went and played that for a while to get exercise. Just Dance, I love that. And I just got it for the Switch. And I plan on, like, the beauty of the Switch where I can cart it places. Like, if I travel, I can now, like, bring Just Dance with me. So I plan on bringing that into my exercise routine. And, like, the idea that you can take VR and use it in the same method as a gym experience, yet giving yourself something active and fun to do and a challenge that makes you not think about the fact that you're doing exercise. So cool.
It is. Like, I can't. I tried the gym. I paid for a 3-month membership. I did the 3 months to get my money's worth. And I never went back. And honestly, if it weren't for the fact that VR makes me extremely nauseous, I would be looking into the sound boxing game and I would be doing my workout this way every day. I'm fairly active, but not active enough to say that I'm athletic, and I would love to get my cardio up. So I might check into some boxing to see if I can do it without puking my guts. If not, you know, maybe I should look into Just Dance.
You should. Just Dance is a great way to exercise. It's a legit workout. So I tried it on the Switch 17. Just Dance 17, that is. I pulled it out on my Switch because I downloaded it the 2 days ago, and then I hadn't had a chance to really jump in. But I turned it on because I was curious to see what songs were in it. That's also part of it, too, because I have this, like, I guess guilty pleasure of loving pop music. And yeah, I wanted to go see what was there and play on the Switch, because you only need one controller at a time, and you know, like, easily three songs in right off the bat, and I was already like breathing heavy, you know, like, it's legit, it's a workout. If you get into it, it's a workout. Mind you, I understand how it works. You really only need the controller to move. You could sit there and just make sure you hit the spots, but that's not the fun of it. This music makes you want to get up and dance.
It right? is. And little tidbit there, I was looking at the song list because I ordered Just Dance, because this summer I'm going to be bunking it with my brother and I'm bringing my video games, and I know that cringes my sister-in-law, so I was like, I'll bring Just Dance so that the kids, if they want to play video games, will dance, you know, will move. Mm-hmm. And I saw that there is What Is Love?
Yes.
And it's a car choreography, like, yes! Sitting in a car. And I was, yes, just like geeking out so bad. I was like, yes. 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 Yes.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. We're actually, you guys can't see us, but we're bopping along.
We're doing it. The Night at the Roxbury.
I love it. So good. There better be like a hand motion thing where you're like voguing.
Oh yeah. Check it out on YouTube, it's there. But yeah, it's basically basically hand dancing and then bopping heads.
I've really been debating streaming Just Dance, and I think I'm gonna have to do it. I have no shame, so like, I'm ready to do that on stream, so you guys can laugh at me.
I'll come over, we'll do
nice.
A double.
Nice, let's do it together. Last bit of news, and this is more just like a comment. For those of you who were interested in all the whatnot that happened with Gamergate and all that jazz, Zoe Quinn is actually writing a book about her experiences and her fight against online hate. It's going to be called Crash Override, and if you're looking for something to read in the realm of September of 2017, you can go pick it up. You can pre-order it now. It's supposed to come out, let me see, September 6th. So, you know, get ready. It's too bad it's not a little earlier, because I imagine that'd be cool, like, if you're going up vacation for the summer, you want to take a book on the go. But, you know, September 6th is around, Labor Day weekend? So maybe that's your reading for Labor Day weekend. I'm interested to see what she has to say.
I mean, there's definitely, like, whether or not some of the stuff that was said during Gamergate is true or not. She did get a lot of online hate, and she did survive it, so I am curious to learn how she managed to steel herself against that. Because whether you're right or you're wrong about something, and I don't think there's a right and wrong a lot in Gamergate, because it's a lot of opinions, when you get harassed and attacked, that's never good. And it's never... it destroys a person. So she seemed to have come out of that strong, so I'm really curious about what she has to say about the whole event and how she's worked with Organism to help them fight online hate and all that jazz. So
I feel like we should start like almost like a GOG book club, and a bunch of us read this and then maybe have an open discussion with folks. Maybe we'll plan that for like October time to give people time to read it.
Yeah, I don't read books.
What's wrong with you?
I've lost the will to read books. I think I've
audiobook. Read maybe she'll read it and give you an audiobook version.
How's her voice?
I don't know. I'll read it for her. I will do the audiobook version. I will put on my radio voice. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up the news. So, topic of the show, what you've been really waiting for, we've got the interview with Patricia Somerset, who is better known as Princess Zelda from Breath of the Wild. So, let's get into it.
So today is a very fun day because I'm sitting across the table from Patricia Somerset. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm so good.
Thank you so much for coming and sitting with me to talk about what you do for video games.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for folks, I'm sure I've prefaced all this earlier in the podcast in the intro lead up to your introduction, but you most recently worked on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, being Princess Zelda herself.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, wow. Had to be fun.
It was amazing. Yeah.
But this is not the first video game that you've worked on, and I kind of want to get the details of your backstory and how you got into doing voice acting and performance capture for video games. So go right ahead.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, it's I've actually been voice acting as well as TV, film, and theater acting for, I guess it's about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an undergrad at Concordia University. Before that, I did ice dancing, which eventually led to theater. And after I went to school, I started to work in Montreal. Felt like I was hitting a bit of a glass ceiling in my, both in terms of what I had access to and also in my process, as mostly on stage. But voice acting was something that was recurring through this whole time. It was always something that I knew that I loved to do from school, from the initial classes that I took where we did voice workshops and we put together our demos. I was just fascinated by it. And I noticed that I had probably a larger fascination than I'd say 90% of my class. There were a few of us that really took to it and kind of stuck with it. So I always knew it would be a part of my career. That was really clear from the beginning.
Yeah. Very cool. And your IMDb page is full of video game work, oh. I must say. So I'm going to start right from the beginning. The first one that I recognize, where you played Grendel's mother in Beowulf the Game. Was that your first video game gig?
It was not my first video game gig. It was my first AAA, I guess you could say, video game gig. Before that, I'd done a lot of little indie games. And that was one of the first things that got me into the Canadian sort of union in Montreal and got me on the list to go up for new kinds of auditions. That was great. Yeah, playing Angelina Jolie's sort of voice in the game, which was very exciting at the time. I was like, this is incredible. It was the craziest, but yeah.
Did you try and mimic Angelina Jolie's voice in that process?
Bit. Yeah, a little bit. But it was something that was, you know, it was inspired by obviously the movie, and she had opted out of the game. They do have, I think, you know, Anthony Hopkins and some of the others did do the game, but she didn't. So they needed to find a similar voice match. And whatever my tones were sort of matched up with that. And I'd recently gotten a new demo together and my stuff got passed to the right person and they heard it and they were like, oh, she should audition for this. And so, yeah, that was cool.
After that, it looks like you got some time in with some Assassin's Creed games.
I did. Not right away. It took me a few years of auditioning with Ubisoft before that happened. I actually went to London and did a master's of classical acting in between that time, came back to Canada and then started again in Toronto and then back in Montreal. And I was doing theater and TV and film and then auditioning, knowing desperately that I wanted to do video games and motion capture, knowing that was a great fit for me. And then eventually it finally came about and I was so pleased when it did. Yeah. Ubisoft.
Yeah. You have quite a few with Ubisoft. Quite a few games.
I guess it's turning into that now. Yeah.
Yeah. Between Assassin's Creed Rogue, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Rainbow. You were Ash in Rainbow Six Siege.
I am Ash in Rainbow
Six Siege. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They're
continuing
Siege
for a second season and it looks like it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Ash is one of the, being one of the most the stronger female characters in the game, I feel, and in personality as well as just she's a powerhouse in the game.
She's such a badass. I'm very, very pleased to play Ash. It's an ongoing thing. It's great. I've been connecting with some of the community, the Rainbow Six community. I attended the Rainbow Six Invitational.
Oh wow!
So they had their first World Champion Esports Invitational here in Montreal back in what was it, February?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, and I got to sit and watch the esports live. Wow, it was breathtaking.
It's intense.
It's the best.
Was there any inspiration that you drew from for Ash?
Oh gosh. Good question. I think when I did the auditions, it was pretty, I didn't know what it was when I was auditioning for it.
That happens a lot, right?
A lot. A lot. Yeah. Not when it first started. I mean, I've got a kind of generalized idea of what I like. That's a generalized. I like to get really specific when I do the characters, but for auditions, you kind of try to get into a zone that you think they might respond to. And if they go with my voice, it tends to be, obviously there are exceptions because this new game is an exception. Zelda is an exception to this, but often the low tones and the sort of girthy delivery is something that I enjoy trying. And it sometimes works. This was one of those things. And also you need to be able to shout and do a lot of stamina work with a character like Ash. So yeah, that's been interesting.
Do you do most of your voice acting in English?
Entirely.
Yeah. Do you do any French?
Nope.
But you did try a entirely new language that didn't really exist as a Wenja in Far Cry Primal.
I did.
How was that?
Oh, it was, gosh, when I figured out what that was, what that game was, going to do it again. Once again, one of those exciting things where you get this, what do they call it? Indo-European, new old language that doesn't exist, but was invented partly for this game. I went into studio and I think it was about mimicking the sounds of that period, which was something that luckily I was able to do a bit of. So that was held in my favor for this game and then also for Honor.
Right.
We did the Latin work in For Honor. Yeah. That's pretty great. I mean, it's good. And I also enjoy singing is a big part of what I do as well. I have a band and I released an album a couple of years ago with them. And I think just the practice of singing also helps the voice work and vice versa. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Now, during any of these, were you doing performances capture as well as voice acting? Or, well, and I say performance capture as well as, but I mean, often you're doing both at the same time.
Often I am, and sometimes they're separate. They're not for the same characters. Okay. Some of it's, you know, extra work that's not, doesn't have the face with it. Others is full performance capture. The two assassins I did, they were both full performance capture. And I've done some other work that's performance capture for facials and stuff like that. And some stuff that I can't talk about yet. And then some stuff that is just entirely face and like lips and eye capture for things like tête-à-claque, like the English version of that. So
that's what's it like being in that suit? And the process of getting into that suit.
Actually, that's probably one of the funnest, one of the more fun parts of the day. For me, showing up at the studio as a motion capture artist it's just the best. Not everybody loves it. I love it. You get your coffee, you go, and then, it's going to sound a little crass, but a bunch of awesome guys sit there and they like, you put on a suit and then they just like throw, you know, bulbs all over you, and then they measure everything with great precision, you know, looking at all of your hinges and trying to get it just right. It's fascinating, for one, and everybody is always extremely pleasant, very nice. It's a great time. I love the motion capture studio. It's one of those special things that I get to do as an actor, where you feel like you're actually interacting with both technology and people who are at the top of their game. Working in these different fields that somehow relate to a human narrative. It's really cool.
Are there any games that you worked on that you were just performance capturing in, not the voice?
Yes. I'm trying to think of what those might have been. Some of them were like demo projects. I'm trying to think if there's any games in that.
I know frequently they grab it for stock.
Mm-hmm.
I know you end up getting royalties out of that, which is kind of works out nice. But yeah, you end up going in and just doing stock movements, runnings, you know, falling, that kind of thing. Have you done much of that as well?
I do a little bit less of that. I know some people are regulars doing that kind of work. Mm-hmm. It's possible that in the future I will be. But right now, most of the motion capture that I've been doing has been related to a particular character that I've also been doing.
And yeah. You also got the chance to work on Deus Ex Mankind Divided, a game that did really well last year as well.
I did, yeah.
Multiple Wicked voices?
Game. Yeah, I guess it was. It was a miscellaneous of voices. I'm not even sure all of which ones because it was such a long process that it took, I don't know, what, like 2 years or something. I want to say within 2 years from beginning to end, putting that together. So like a long period of time would go by and then I'd come back in and then do something entirely different. So I'm not even sure, but it's in there somewhere.
And then Zelda.
Yes. And then Zelda.
Oh, wow. So we got to start at the beginning. How did you get the gig? How did that pan out? How'd you get the phone call? Say, let's go. Wow. You're Princess Zelda.
Yeah. Fascinating. It actually is really interesting. I had just made a very big move in my career to branch out into LA and being American as well. I mean, I've spent half my life in the States, but to live in LA was a new thing. And it was something that took a lot of courage for me personally to pursue. So I just made the decision to do that. My sister had been there for a lot of years. She was a singer-songwriter down there and she lives in Northern California now. And so she had some contacts in the video game industry. So she helped me when I put my package together. Obviously I have demos and everything like that and previous experience, but she was able to pass it out to some different studios. And then from there, I got an audition and went in not having any idea what it was. I knew it was sort of general fantasy, British accent, which I prepped for quite a while going in, hoping to make a really good, you know, first impression. It was essentially the first audition that I had when I went to LA.
Oh, wow.
It was the first audition that I had. And it ended up being that.
Of all the things.
Big one. I know. Oh, crazy. So got a call back for that and a couple of other things in it, because there was a little variety that I could audition for. And I got a call back for a few of them. And I was thinking, gosh, I'll probably, you know, if I do get something, I was sort of taking stock of what might work for me. I was like, it'll probably be like something like a lower voice warrior or something, you know. Anyway, that didn't end up happening, but I tried really hard for what I thought was the princess character, because I thought, oh, it looks like it might be a lead. I don't know, you know. And it was all very delightful to do. But then I found out a couple of weeks after a callback, which happened about a month later from the initial audition, that I had gotten the part, and then I still didn't know what it was until, I guess, a few weeks later or something like that, when I went in to do the recordings. And then I almost peed my pants. It was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And then my whole world kind of flipped upside down. And then I just essentially was holding a really huge secret for a year.
Yeah, that had to be rough.
It was, whatever, poor me. But it was intense to hold that secret, because I was like, what is this going to be? What's going to happen? I know it had a lot of hype around it, but I wouldn't have been able to predict. Obviously, you can't predict how these things are going to play out. You never, never know. Mm-hmm. And you work on a lot of cool projects that don't really... they don't catch fire, and then other ones that you don't think are anything, and then they really catch fire, and so you don't really know. But
I guess once you knew that you were Princess Zelda in the next upcoming Legend of Zelda game, you had to know that this was going to be wildfire as soon as you knew the title.
Well, I didn't. I assumed it could be, but once again, I mean, there was no way to know. I mean, I knew the game had some delays already,
right.
And it's just hard to tell. And there was also what was happening with the launch of the Switch. And,
right.
And there was also a part of me, because very little information has passed. It's a very mysterious process through the whole thing. So I was often waiting and being like, what's going to happen? Did I get replaced? Am I, you know...
I guess you don't even know the release date.
You don't know any of that stuff.
Oh. Yeah. And then the very first time, I guess it was one of the trailers that we heard Zelda for the first time, heard you.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first time you were allowed to say, okay, that's me?
Oh, no.
You had to wait until the game released?
Like so many months later. Oh, wow. Yes. I've had to wait until, the game release, which was March 3rd, to announce anything. So the mysterious voice at E3 with a, you know, open your eyes and all that stuff. That was interesting, and watching people react to that. And obviously it being the first... voice, people were like, is that Zelda? Is it, you know, it was a lot of questions online about what it was going to be. Is that going to be her or some other? Anyway, all to say, it's been an interesting mystery that has, you know, evolved and opened up through the year.
So inspiration for Zelda, because we've heard Zelda speak not a lot, a few times maybe. Mm-hmm. But they wanted you to do a British voice. What was the thoughts behind that? Did they explain to you why they'd want British? And then where did you draw your inspiration from to create that voice?
Good question. From a few different places. As far as the decision to make it British, I knew that was the decision going in. So essentially what I auditioned for was what was approved ultimately. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hylian doesn't really exist as a...
Not
in English
really,
language.
No.
I mean, if it did, I'm sure I would try to do it.
100% if that was a dialect, that, we would jump on that.
We would, yeah. I do write TP Hylian. I did learn TP Hylian, but yeah, there's no phonetics for it, so. Yeah, what was the question? So
yeah, about why British, but that was what they had decided, I guess, Nintendo's thing.
Yeah, they just,
thing.
That was their thing, yeah.
For you, the inspiration behind it, because obviously even... With there's so many different versions of I mean, even within Canada, like I'm from Newfoundland, so my dialect is entirely different. Mind you, I've changed it a lot because people never understand me. But yeah. But for, you know, British is the same kind of style in the dialect and different tones and things. How did you decide what to choose?
Well, that one was fairly easy for me because what was approved was the standard RP, which very much is, you know, educated, refined. She's a princess. It's like, obviously, that would be my first thing going in.
And this was just voice work, correct?
Yes. Okay. Dubbing. Yeah. Dubbing
very work. Cool. Now, since you've been able to, you know, let the cat out of the bag as of March 3rd, the game released, what's the reaction been like for you? Has life changed a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. It's been interesting. It's a slow build, and I feel like I'm just at the beginning of it. I've had a lot of, you know, they're obviously, I mean, it's online, so you get everything. But I've had a lot of love coming my way, which has been pretty extraordinary, and it's so cool. I know I'm at the beginning of meeting so many amazing people this year. And I'm really looking forward to doing conventions and talking and like meeting cosplayers and just, yeah, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. And one of my dreams as an actor has always been to travel the world with acting. And it's been something that I haven't done as much as I'd like to, traveling, partly because I'm sort of gunning it back here for my career and trying not to leave for too long periods of time. So this is kind of great. If I get to do conventions and I get to travel with my career, that's, it's just ideal.
I guess for you too as well, you do the project, then you have to wait a while before it can really come out. I mean, that, how long was it when you wrapped to March 3rd?
Gosh, I guess the wrap was sort of, I guess it was maybe the fall time. Yeah, it was around fall that we wrapped. It was a slow trickling wrap, obviously, like these things are, you know, there's like little bits and pieces that need to be tweaked and that sort of thing. And then you're never quite sure if it's going to be done until it's done. And you're like, okay, I guess that was the last one or whatever. But yes, several months. And then, I mean, I found out when everybody else did in January that it was definitely going to be a launch title, which probably some people would have predicted anyway. That was a surprise for me when it came out. So I was like, okay, oh, wow, it's going to happen now.
We had a feeling. Yeah. We had a good feeling.
I mean, it makes sense. But yeah, you don't know until you know, of course. So.
And in that case, I guess you also, because you wrapped so long ago, and I mean, you need to work in the meantime. You must be working something right now, yet also living in the awesomeness that is, you know, just post-launch. Because we're only, what, 3-4 weeks out? Barely?
Yeah. That's that pretty much describes my life right now.
Chaos.
Yeah, I'm working on a couple games. I'm doing some TV film stuff. I'm always doing some music stuff, and then trying to figure out what my movements are, where I'm going to be, and then also just maintaining my social media and allowing for connections to happen online. And it's that's a lot of work.
Well, that's how we connected.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Is. And I was just trolling your Instagram earlier. You have a new follower now. It is me.
Yes.
You were at the hockey game last night and managed to run into your game, which is kind of amazing.
It wasn't very hard. It was right at the door.
It was right in your face.
And it's funny because I just unwrapped my own Switch and I'm like, I'm trying to sit down to get some time to like play Breath of the Wild. And I'm like, oh, but I've got a Habs game. Poor me. I have to go to a Habs game. This is fabulous.
You could have brought your Switch with you, but you wouldn't have been able to appreciate both at the same time.
I feel like that would be a little overkill. I'd like to be in the room that I'm in. So yeah, I walked through the door and I was like, whoa, okay, Breath of the Wild and Nintendo Switch. Yeah, everywhere. So what was great was I got to try the Pro Controller, which I don't have. And I might get now after I've tried it.
I've heard good things. Mm. I don't have it yet either. I played most of The Legend of Zelda with it in my hands. There's just the intimacy of that I was really... It made it feel precious to me.
Yeah.
Which the game really is. I know you haven't gotten your chance to get really deep into the game yet, but you're going to have so much fun.
I'm already just from the beginning credits and opening it up with the light and then...
Yeah, that moment.
Waking up, I'm like, holy.
Yeah. I just finished an editorial on it replacing my favorite game of all time, which is, was Ocarina of Time.
I was going to say, was it Ocarina of Time?
Breath of the Wild.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. You're my new Princess Zelda.
Just,
my heart is exploding right now.
Oh man, so cool. You're so good at it. So good. So oh, yes, you. When we managed to connect on social media, I was very, very stoked and very honored that you'd allow me to interview you for this.
It's my pleasure.
So do you have any conventions planned here now in the near future to go to or anything booked?
I've got a lot in the works. SAC Anime I'm going to be at, but I guess I'm going to be making that official announcement very soon.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure that I can make that announcement already. So I will be at SAC Anime. And then from there, I think a lot of the, because I couldn't really set things up in advance.
Right. That's tough.
Which was a little tough. So now it's going to be sort of fall and then next winter where the majority of my travel is going to happen. And I'm hoping to get everywhere in the world if I can. That's my plan. Go from there.
I think you might be able to. I think you might.
Yeah. I'm banking on it.
And fan reaction.
Mm.
I'm assuming it's been nothing but good.
I would say from the people that I would, you know, worry about their opinion, you know, that it's been really wonderful. I think the most moving fan reaction that I've had so far, there have been some extraordinarily beautiful things said to me that I am deeply grateful for. And but one which was really wonderful was a friend of mine who I have known for a little while. He happens to have cerebral palsy, and I met him like haphazardly in a bank where he was working, and he was leaving the bank and working in finance, and he was really pumped. Like, we met on this really interesting day, and he emailed me recently after he found out about the Zelda thing, and he said, you know, I just want you to know that I grew up with cerebral palsy and I had a lot of motor control issues. And one of the things that was prescribed to me, the main thing, was to play Nintendo video games. And so I would sit there and play Zelda, and playing Zelda as a child is one of the reasons I can read and or write with my hands today, which nobody thought I could do.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And I just, yeah, obviously I was pretty teared up when I read that, but that's to be part of something that is so deeply important and special for certain people is it is really something. It's really something.
Is there anything? Is there one moment that you take away from your experience recording Zelda that really stands out?
Ooh,
is special.
I think every time I was in the studio, I was like, "This is epic." Gosh, one moment. I can think of a few, but I'm actually not sure how much I can say about that right now.
That's how it is. Mm. The video game world.
Yeah. All shrouded in mystery.
Indeed. Do you have any projects coming up you're allowed to speak about?
Ooh, I've got some really exciting stuff coming up that I can't yet speak about. Mm. But I'm really excited about it. And I am in a rumored Spearhead game, which I can't talk about, but I can say that I am in a Spearhead game.
That's cool.
And that's one of the things. And yeah, I'll stop there. I'm looking forward to the summer. I'm looking forward to this year. It's going to be really awesome. Yeah.
Well, Patricia, before I let you go, I also want to ask you, because I'm a huge music fan, about mm-hmm. your band.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. You have your first album.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have anything in the works right now? Are you guys touring, performing anywhere in particular?
touring has been completely out of the
I guess it's
possibility.
Hard.
The realm of possibility with me back and forth from LA. So we have not been able to set up live shows. I think we might start to try to set up live shows again this next year. Our band is all sort of waiting for something to happen, but they're all very busy. They're all extraordinary musicians and they do other things too. We're writing some new stuff and hoping to record a new EP. We've got the material for an EP. And so maybe by the end of the summer is when we're planning on recording. Yeah, that would be great. it's been a big hiatus for us this last year. Knowing that it's worth it to keep going, but also to just take the break and stuff. So, but yeah, more to come with Somerset Band as well.
That's great. Patricia, thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media if they want to learn more about what you are doing and all that goodness that is coming out? And of course, send you awesome Zelda fan art.
Oh, yes, because I do share Zelda fan art. I do fan art Fridays. I share all of my games fan art, but Zelda's obviously a huge one of those right now. There's extraordinarily beautiful pieces. And I also do a lot from Rainbow Six and stuff. So my Twitter and Instagram, they're both at Somerset_. Summer like the season, SEtt _. And I've got a Facebook page as well, Patricia Somerset, and an official website where I'm going to be putting my convention information and stuff like that. So that's patriciasomerset.com.
That's great. Thank you so much, Patricia.
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
And thank you for being Zelda.
That is my pleasure, too.
You're welcome.
Thanks again to Patricia for coming to hang out with me. I really appreciated it. And my door's always open if you want to come talk more video game stuff. So much fun. Before we let you go, of course, want to let you know about Fun.io, who is a wonderful hosting service who provides all the hosting for girlsongames.ca. So if you're looking for anything from VPS hosting, e-commerce, WordPress blog, whatever, they're the place for you to go check out and get your hands on web hosting. Stream schedule, as you know, we're on Beam, so beam.pro/team/girlsongames. That's us. You can go check us out. Kat has been streaming on there doing some creative stuff. I've been doing more game stuff. We've got Allie, we've got Bianca, we've got Simon, we got Fluffy, we've got
Steffi.
I think that's it. Steffi! Yes! Steph! Oh my god! Steph is back from vacation. So yes. And she's, I'm assuming she's going to be streaming more. I know she's got some, like, family and maybe some other fun stuff going on in the meantime.
She's been on a long hiatus, but I think she'll be back.
Yeah, she's been a busy, busy girl. So we're happy to have her back. So yeah, go check us out there. And of course, we always post on Twitter and that jazz when people go live. Cool stuff. Website highlights. Kat, what's going on the site?
We have a review of Lego Worlds. We said Minecraft was the Lego video games. Well, Lego was like, yeah? Okay, we'll do our own. So go check out our review of Lego Worlds. And also from last week, we have Aaliyah explaining why Breath of the Wild is her new favorite game instead of Ocarina of Time. And there's a whole lot of goodness happening on the site regularly. And if ever you're interested in a game or something, just use the search function. We've most likely talked about it on a podcast or written about it. So check us out, girlsongames.ca.
Thanks, Kat. So before I let you go, how can people track you down on the social medias to find out what you're doing and find you on Beam?
I'm CSDESBINS, CSDBien, on Twitter, Instagram. I'm at beam.pro/CSDBA, or you can just find me at the Girls on Games team. And yeah, I'm streaming creative, and Twitter and Instagram is mostly about cats and dogs. Don't ask.
We said she liked animals.
I retweet dog rates a lot, I'm not gonna lie.
I love that. I'm Leah Jewer on most social media. On Beam, I am GOG Leah, so you can come check me out there. We'll be tweeting, though, of course, on Leah Jewer and at the Girls and Games when I go live on Beam playing things. But of course, everything you want to know and need to know is about Girls on Games. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at the Girls on Games. We're on Instagram at just Girls on Games, no the there. On Discord, if you want to continue these wonderful conversations about video games and life around geek culture, you can go to Discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, everything you ever need to know is on our website, which is our home base. That's girlsongames.ca. So thanks again for a wonderful week, Kat. Thank you, Patricia, for being a sweetheart. And thank you for listening. So, as always, Hope you have an excellent week and happy gaming.